It was interesting to me moving toward the Flower Communion Sunday, having never experienced it before. I was really trying to imagine exactly how it played out, especially loving flowers as much as I do. Flowers have been an important part of my life, like most of you, for a really long time. Not just as someone who grows them, but as someone who appreciates them. I remember as a young girl in the Catholic tradition during Easter, I always asked my mom for a flower crown. Just there was always, there's a natural draw, obviously, right? They bring our eyes to this moment of beauty in the world. Several years ago, I actually, because I had a lot of perennial gardens where I was living at the time, I started a little flower business. I don't know why I decided to do that, right? Turn your love into a business. But I created these little bouquets, and I sold the bouquets through a whole bunch of different general stores in southern Vermont. And it was not a moneymaker at all, but it gave me the opportunity to do what I love doing, which was to just be in the company of flowers. I would harvest the flowers on a Thursday, let them sit overnight, prepare the bouquets on a Friday morning, and then deliver them. I always thought that having a flower delivery business or being a flower delivery person would be one of the best jobs in the world because you're delivering joy, right? No one ever says, "Ugh, what is this?" when you get a bouquet of flowers by surprise. I have a friend whose name is Ariella Chazar. Does anyone know who, if you're in the floral design world at all? Ariella lived for a time here in Saratoga. And eventually she and her husband, Chris, who is a master stonemason and built some of the stone walls at Skidmore, they moved to the Berkshires. But Ariella is kind of a superstar in the flower design world. She's created a number of books in addition to giving workshops, doing these incredible displays, installations, and doing flowers for celebrations really all over the world. This is one of her books, and it's a treasure. I brought it in case you want to take a look at it. Yesterday, of course, at the 11th hour, I thought it would be pretty neat to ask Ariella the question, why have you chosen to spend your life working with flowers? And this is what she wrote back. And it's so incredibly beautiful that I really felt like I needed to share it with you this morning. She said, "I have worked with flowers for 30 years now, and my excitement for and delight in them has yet to abate. I love the way each season allows a reconnection with what has come to feel like old friends. From the first snowdrops peeking up until the last of the asters when they come and go. I love that during June, you can be smothered in peonies, and then within a few weeks, that time comes to an end. I have absolutely no interest in seeing a peony in any other time of the year, especially the imported ones that come from far away. A flower in its season is bursting with life force." Isn't that wonderful? She said, "I love how flowers have become a vehicle for me when I teach to connect people to their creativity. Flowers are such an easy entry point, luscious, infringing, beautiful, fragrant, color, texture, form, it's all there. I love how quietly seductive they are, and my life's goal is to draw people into their beauty with the hope that they will walk away giving a, in quotations, about Mother Earth." In other words, caring more about Mother Earth. She said, "When I was about 18, I found flowers and was so ecstatic to realize that I could make a life working with them. But I hesitated because it didn't feel like important work in a world so full of so many enormous problems. I brought this conundrum to my mom, a painter and artist of many mediums, and she stopped me, completely shut me down, and she said, 'No, Ariella, the world needs beauty,' thereby giving me permission to follow my heart's desire. Goodness knows the world needs a lot of things, but to be sure, it also needs beauty." Ariella. In doing some background reading about flower communion, I found in many cases the emphasis to be on this idea that the flowers in the vases represent our diversity, one way to see what we do today, and of course that's true. Like flowers, no two people are ever exactly alike. But our similarities kind of end there, really, because flowers, as you'll notice, don't ever argue. They don't have opinions. They don't disappoint one another. Flowers don't hurt each other's feelings, as far as we can tell. So if we're talking about diversity and using flowers as a metaphor, we have to remember that the challenge of community is not loving diversity in the abstract. The challenge is in putting this very good idea into practice in our daily lives with actual people. And so today is a good day to say, we are as diverse and as beautiful as all of these flowers as a starting point for all of us. From there, we move on to how do we exist in harmony in the same vase, in the same world, like our beautiful botanical brethren? How do we do it? How do we live in a diverse world? How do we live peacefully in a diverse world? I think it might be true that many of us actually arrange our lives around people who think like we do, maybe people who vote like we do, maybe people who understand the way that we do, right? There's comfort and community of people that are like us. But if you think about it, it's like creating an endless bouquet made entirely of our one favorite flower. What we know, of course, we know that we grow, especially through contact with what is different. That's one of the main ways that we grow as human beings. We become wiser, not by protecting ourselves from people and ideas that might result in disagreement or disappointment or a challenge, but by encountering the other and learning from the encounter. There was a time in my life when I traveled everywhere I went with a big camera. I was really into photography. And it allowed me to meet and interact with people wherever I went. And that's kind of how I used it, as an engagement tool. I would meet someone by first asking, because I loved portraiture, is it okay if I take your photo? And I did this everywhere, on the streets of New York City, when I traveled in the South, wherever I went, it allowed me to meet people. And those really, I can say, were the experiences that enlarged me as a person. It really gave me a better chance to hold complexity, is the way I would describe it, in my life. Because I might have had some ideas about homeless people before I carried a camera around, but when I started photographing them and talking with them, everything changed. An absolute game changer. I began to understand these are actual human beings in difficult circumstances. The encounter with the other, with the one not like us, with the one that maybe we have some already preconceived notions about, that's how we expand. Again, and I'll bring this home every week that I'm up here, we are preparing to leave this building, construct a new one, welcome a new minister, lots of beautiful changes coming. There will be a primary focus, a big focus on all the new structures involved with all of that. But I'll take us back around to the deeper questions. Will our capacity as a community continue to grow? Will it expand as we move forward? Are we becoming a larger vessel than we were before? Can we hold more differences, more uncertainty, more possibility, more voices than were held 10 or even 5 years ago? Is the vessel growing? Because if the answer to that is yes, and hopefully it is or will be, this congregation will thrive no matter what the address is, no matter where you go, no matter where you land, no matter who's standing this morning at the microphone, the congregation will continue to thrive. Expansion, connection, allowing the other into the dynamic. Important things, I think, to think about as you move through the different stages. I think that flower communion is a ritual that endures because it reminds us, hopefully, that community is not built from sameness. It is built from a willingness to bring what is uniquely yours, ours, and place it alongside what everyone else brings. And in doing so, allowing ourselves to be changed. We leave today with a different flower than the one that we arrived with, right? Experience changes us. It's meant to change us. Encounter changes us. Community changes us. Hopefully that's part of the reason why you're here. To grow, to evolve, to be open to new ideas, to expand based on what you encounter here. If we allow it, every single gathering, every encounter is an opportunity to enlarge our capacity for one another and for the greater world. Remember this, Norbert Chapek did not create this ritual in a settled, comfortable congregation. He created this beautiful ritual in a Europe that was torn apart by nationalism, ideology, and division. That's what was happening. The people who gathered around him brought with them different histories, different beliefs, different losses, different hopes, different fears, the same as we all do today. The flowers represent those differences, but the act itself was about something deeper. Right? On the surface level, this is a beautiful ritual, but there is a lot of deeper stuff going on. Each person surrenders their own flower and they leave with one chosen by someone else. The ritual acknowledges that we do not become fully ourselves in isolation. We are shaped by the encounters with lives that we did not choose, experiences we didn't plan, and people that we might never have sought out to be near all on our own. We are, as human beings, shaped by these things. The bouquet that emerged in this ritual from that gathering was a symbol of diversity as much as it was a symbol of the power of transformation. Flower communion reminds us that wisdom doesn't come from protecting the uniqueness of our own blossom. Wisdom does not come from protecting the uniqueness of our own blossom. It comes from participating in a larger arrangement, allowing our lives to be touched, to be challenged, and to be changed by all the flowers that are growing nearby. I encourage you now in a few moments of silence to think about the deeper aspects of it. Even ask yourself, when was the last time that you had an encounter with the other? Whether it was a person or an idea or maybe a decision that someone made that you didn't like. Did you allow it to expand your heart? Did you allow it to expand your thinking? Will you allow encounters to expand your ability to coexist with all the things in this world that are not you?